talent is scarce. And when we have a situation where we don't even graduate 30% of our Americans from high school, the element about where are we going to get the technology expertise and grow the talent that we need to remain a cyber-based society is one of real importance. And of course, that leads into, you know, you need to grow more at home. That prevents outsourcing. Outsourcing, as you know, has all kinds of security, economic, and national security implications for our country. And so those are important issues that we need to tackle at the national level. And I think there are a large number of people that agree with me on that.
Yeah, also, I mean, it all becomes so entangled in education issues. And, I mean, just I was seeing out in California, the UC system is the UCLA Business School is now no longer going to depend on public money. They're going to seeking private money because they can't depend on the public money. And it's a weird place where we've become.
Well, it is. And again, those are inputs to the education system, of which I'm not necessarily an expert.
Right, me neither.
but I am concerned with the outputs of our education system.
Yeah.
And the number of STEM, scientists, technology, engineering, and math folks that we raise up from a very young age to make us capable of being the best in the world technology wise in the future.
There's been some talk about a cyber shield, and I think it sounds like a little something out of a James Bond movie or something. What is a cyber shield, and is this something that becomes a reality, or is it more sci-fi kind of stuff?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it catches your attention. So,
yeah.
So you know, if that was one of the purposes, I think that's good. I've
Check.
Never talked to anybody who understands exactly what a cyber shield is, other than a concept that says, you know, how do we distance ourselves from bad activity or bad guys? But here's the problem that we have in telling this story. From what people can do with their five senses versus what happens in cyberspace. Your cyber footprint does not correspond with what your physical footprint is. See, so your databases, your storage of applications, your things in which you have in transit, maybe on the other side of the world. And so the idea that says we're going to put up a shield that has any kind of geography reference to it or any kind of geography paradigms to it doesn't play out in cyberspace. So as we figure, you know, now that we've got our attention that something important needs to be done, it needs to be something that takes care of the cyber footprint, not the physical footprint.
Hmm. All the discussion, you can't talk about cloud without talking about, you have to measure it on a stopwatch before you're talking about security. It's,
right.
You know, you can't have one discussion without the other.
Right.
Is that reality, or is that one of the just knee-jerk things that people say, oh, I don't really want to do cloud, so security, that's the reason why I don't do it.
Right. Well, that might be some of the reasons for risk avoidance that you find in cloud right now, but I see cloud very much as a technology that's coming into the present. It's a technology of the future. And it's kind of like, well, what was wireless? You know, we said the same thing about wireless several years ago, I see this as the inevitable technology progress. And the key will be two things. Can you give an organization trust in how the cloud works? And two, can they maintain control over their intellectual property, their mission accomplishment, the things that are important for them? And so the key will be in migrating into this new technology, the folks that can figure out that combination of trustworthiness and control and make it work in the cloud are the ones that are going to have a leg up on everybody else.